This reading is from Acts chapter 9, verses 1 to 9. Meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. He went to the high priest. He requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any of the followers of the way he found there. He wanted to bring them back, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. As he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. And the voice replied, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men with Saul stood speechless, for they had heard the sound of someone's voice, but saw no one. Saul picked himself up off the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he was blind. So his companions led him by the hand to Damascus. He remained there, blind, for 3 days, and did not eat or drink.
It's so good to be with you today. Today is week 2 of Jesus, a Game Changer, season 2. And today we're talking about transformation. We're talking about new identity. And we're in my kitchen. I love the kitchen. The kitchen's a place where many miraculous transformations happen. You know, things like coffee, from bitter bean to smooth nectar of the Lord. It's so good. Other things like flour, sugar, and cinnamon become gooey cinnamon rolls. And today I'm making a bit of a pasta sauce for my wife. It's Mother's Day. And so we're going to be looking at what it looks like to be transformed. Pasta is one of those things that the tomatoes start out acidic, but the more you cook them, the sweeter they get. They become something new. They become something different. And as we heard in our reading today, we've got Acts chapter 9. And thanks, Kylie, for that reading. It was really, really great. It's a story of a miraculous transformation. This guy named Saul, who later becomes Paul, he's breathing murderous threats. He's dragging off men and women into prison. He's doing whatever he can to destroy this new group of followers of God who have become followers of Jesus. Let's listen in to Michael Bird as he explains why Saul is so hell-bent on destroying these people who are following this new way. And while he does that, I'll chop up this basil.
What was Paul like when he was Saul and before he had that experience in Damascus?
You would think you had come across a religious fanatic as if he was part of the Judean version of Al-Qaeda, okay? Because this was a guy who was committed to the Jewish way of life, the tradition of the Pharisees. He thought he was pretty much blameless under the law. He was excelling in the traditions of the elders, and he says he was filled with zeal. And zeal doesn't mean just bucket loads of enthusiasm. Zeal means a willingness to engage in holy violence to protect God's reputation and to protect the purity and the sanctity of the people of God. He came to target one particular group, followers of Jesus, the Nazarenes, the followers of the way. Eventually they'd be called Christians. He targeted them because he believed they were a rogue cult. He wanted to completely nullify them as a movement. Now, whether that meant suppressing them, scattering them, imprisoning them, beating them, or in some cases even killing them. This was a guy who really believed that the end justifies the means.
That is so intense. Listening to that, talking about Saul, right? Saul thought that he was protecting. Saul thought he was preserving his way of life. And it all starts on this road to Damascus, right? He's on this road with his friends. And all of a sudden, there's this bright light, right? And it knocks him from his steed. It knocks him from his horse or whatever it is that he was riding on. And he hears this voice, right? This bright light. He hears this voice. "Who are you? Who are you?" And he says, "It's Jesus. says, I'm Jesus, the person that you're persecuting. And he's given some instructions, go to the city. He's told what's going to happen next. And this is where transformation begins. He met Jesus. This is this amazing, miraculous transformation that when we meet Jesus, things change. And in Paul's life, or Saul, who becomes Paul, he moves in this transformation process from terrorist to missionary, from antagonist to emissary, from a demolition man to an architect, and from a murderer to a martyr, someone who would lay down his life for the things that he believed in because he had been with Jesus. When you think about transformation, who or what do you think about? Who do you think of? And I think it's important for us to remember that transformation is a direct result of being with Jesus, of meeting Jesus. And when I think about transformation, I think about my dad. When I was younger, before I have a lot of memories, is when my dad became a Christian. My dad was really successful in the field that he had decided to be in, but he loved the rodeo. He loved bull riding, and he loved the way of life that he had, and he didn't really want to follow God. But he had this experience where he was transformed, where he met with Jesus. And you might find it interesting, or you might find it a little bit crazy, but he was sitting in his living room, and he had all the things that go with being successful in that time and in that age. And he was listening to the radio, and one of the songs that really impacted him in this time was a song by Bob Dylan. It was, "You're Gonna Serve Somebody." And in the midst of this transformation where Jesus kind of revealed himself to my dad, there was this amazing transformation. And it was amazing because it wasn't just this thing that my dad said, right? It was a change from the inside out. Others began to notice that my dad was different. People at his workplace, people that he was friends with. My mom noticed such an amazing change in my dad that she began asking questions. Who's Jesus? It was that big of a difference. My dad began leading Bible studies at his workplace. He began to do things that were so countercultural in the workforce that he was a part of that people began to get upset and angry because of this change that was in him. My dad met Jesus. He had a transformational moment, just like Saul. Not only did it affect himself personally, but it affected people around him. And just like Saul, my dad began preaching. And this is what it says in Acts chapter 9, verses 20 through 22, about what Paul or Saul was doing. At once, he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus was the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, "Isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on his name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests?" Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. So Saul becomes Paul and begins preaching this gospel that Jesus is the Christ. And Paul, he becomes one of those central figures of the New Testament, right? He begins writing these letters to the different churches. He begins writing these letters to different people explaining this gospel. And as a teacher of this new gospel, of this gospel of Jesus Christ, Paul begins to share with us what it means to be transformed. And so some of these foundational truths that Paul shares with us are there's three real things that I want to talk about today. And this is what Paul begins to lay out in the synagogues, everywhere he begins to go, is that Jesus came for all humanity. That he didn't come just for the Jews. He also came for the Gentiles. Those who were near to God thought that this was just for them. But Paul, having met with Jesus, having the disciples kind of get into his life and begin to teach him the truth of this gospel, he realizes that this isn't just for the Jews. It's for all of humanity. And he tells us that today. Not only did Jesus come for all humanity, but Jesus offers us a new identity, not just new behavior. Paul begins to lay out this idea of what it means to be in Christ, to have every spiritual blessing, to have everything that we need in Jesus. And he does an amazing job of this in Ephesians. He kind of lays the groundwork for this in Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter 2 and chapter 3. And I'd like to read just from Ephesians chapter 2 a bit of this about what this looks like for us. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16, this is what it says. And he's talking about Jesus. He says, "For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier or the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and its regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace." And verse 16, "And in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility." He came to make a whole new humanity. Not only did he come for all of humanity, Jesus offers us a new identity. And Paul begins to lay out the foundational teaching of what it means to be in Christ, to have peace, to have everything that we need. And not only those things Paul preaches and teaches, but maybe the most important thing is that the gospel changes everything. No longer do we have to live our lives as one reaction after another, but we are a new creation. How will this gospel change us? How will this gospel help us to make our way maybe across the room or around the house during this time, to love our families, to be transformed into that image of God? In times like these, it's easy for fear and anxiety to get a grip on our hearts. Fear incites us to hold on or to control those things that we do have. But love in Jesus compels us to give ourselves away. It's this very thing that seems foolish and reckless to the world around us is actually the very power of the resurrection, the very power of God, the very truth or proof of being with Jesus that the world just doesn't understand. But we as followers of Jesus are being transformed into that image where that gospel, that truth, that love changes everything into something new, into something different. It takes the acidic seeds of a tomato and makes them sweet over time. We're going to take some time to worship together right now. One of our community, one of our worship team, Tina, wrote a song. And this song's called The Song of Deliverance. And I hope that you'll let the words just reverberate with your soul as you think about these truths that Jesus came for all humanity, that we would be able to step out of the darkness into the light because of what Jesus has done. Jesus offers us a new identity, not just new behavior. And this gospel does indeed change everything. That transforming work that Jesus does in us leads us to this place where we truly believe that the best is yet to come. Let's worship together.
By your sing songs of deliverance. You have rescued me from the grave. Out of the darkness you shone light. From my chains you set me free. You
The best is yet to come. Thank you for that. That was so good. Well, I'm getting ready to throw these ingredients into my sticky garlic marinara, and the pasta is getting ready to fire. And, you know, honestly, just like life, I'm so glad that I don't have to get this right the first time. Everyone makes mistakes. Even Paul. You know, he wasn't perfect right out of the gate. We continue to mature into our new identity. But I know the feeling is real because sometimes we feel like we're not good enough. We hide our light. We believe the lie that I'm only what others say about me, or I'm only what I've done in my past. Well, let me encourage you with something today. Transformation is meeting with Jesus. It's being with Jesus. And let me tell you that Jesus knows you and he loves you. His invitation is to be with him. It's not a burden. It's not tradition. It's not religion and it's not expectation. He knows you and he loves you. And as Paul teaches, in Christ, you are capable and complete. In Jesus, you are enough. And it's so good to remember that his power is perfected in our weakness. Jesus knows you, he loves you, and in him, you're capable and you're complete. I guess I want to ask you today, what's your circle of influence? How will this transformation extend to that circle of influence? How will this being with Jesus change us from the inside out? How will it help us move across the room or around the house? I know for me, part of it is even just making dinner for my wife. It seems like a simple thing. But today's Mother's Day, and can I be just 100% honest with you guys? Because I used to be that guy. Heaven forbid that anyone would ever say this, and it's to my detriment that I tell you that I was that guy who used to say, "She's not my mom. Why do I have to buy her a gift?" I know, you're groaning right now. You're in your homes. You're watching this on your phone, and you're like, "Ryan, how could you be so ignorant?" I guess I just agree with you that it's a process of maturing. It's a process of being transformed into the image of Jesus. And so I hope that you'll listen. I hope that you'll take these words from Paul to heart, that you are known, that when you are with Jesus, it will change you. And it will make you more like him every single day. And as I get ready to make this pasta, I don't know what it will be for you today. Maybe it's breakfast in bed. I know that my wife really likes that, but the boys get to do that. I know that I love to cook for my wife. And so I hope that you'll use your circle of influence. Maybe it's not your mom. Maybe it's someone else in your house. Maybe it's someone else that you know or you work with or your neighbor. I hope that you will too be transformed by being with Jesus across the room, around the house, across the street, and even to the ends of the earth. Let's pray. God, thanks for today. God, thanks that Jesus came so that we could be at peace with you. God, thanks that this transformative life, that this power and this peace that you bring is so good and so real. I pray that as we move into the rest of this series, God, that we would see how your word has changed us and how it has changed the world around us. As we move from this space to the next, God, I pray that you would continue to reveal Jesus to us, that his last words would become important to us, and that we would share his life and his light with others as a part of this new humanity that you came for, that you love, and that changes everything. In your name I pray, amen. Thanks, guys. Have a great week, and we will see you next time.